Why don't you turn that fan that way? Blow away the audience. Absolute truth is going to blow you away. A little more. 5 degrees more. Other way. There you go. Okay, got it. Okay. Yeah. So, come closer. Yeah, it's good. Yes.
Because back in the back, you won't be able to hear what we're saying.
Yes. If you come closer, it's warmer.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. Yes. Thank you. Don't eat fish. No matter how black. Yeah. So once upon a time, there were three little pigs, right? And they built three different kinds of houses like that. Board of goodness, board of pasture. Yeah. So Rupa Goswami was a very, very great scholar. Some people say he didn't exist, right? These scholars say many things. But we have this book here. It's published in paper, right? In front it says, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, like that, right? And so there's in mathematics, there's a proof from induction. Here's a mathematician here. He graduated with a first place prize in mathematics, right? From Boise University. So what is the proof? Proof through induction. Remember that one? Remember? Given any continuous function f of x, if it is true for x equals 1, and it's true for any number n, and if it's true for any number n, and then it's automatically true for n plus 1, then it's true. Like that. You can take a big equation, the square root of x to the power of 3 minus, 27xy, plus 47 so equals this. If you put, okay, let's x equal 1. Okay, it works. Okay, let's take some number n, and then n plus, that automatically implies that n plus 1 is true. Okay, then it's true, like that. So I think that's how our parampara proof works, right? First off, you have to investigate number 1. So who's number 1 in the parampara? Huh? Other end. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. Yeah. In the incorporation document for ISKCON of New York, the first one, it says that the founder acharya for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness shall be His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And nobody shall share or occupy this position during or after his life. Okay, very clear. So Prabhupada is the only initiating guru for the next 10,000 years. There's so many things, But what Prabhupada again and again and again required was that in all documents of the society, everything else should say, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder of Acharya, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So if we're talking about ISKCON, the number 1 in ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. And so is he true? You've got to investigate him like that. And, even to approach him, right? Again, I heard with my own ears Srila Prabhupada's lips like that, right? Well, somebody asked him in 1975 in San Francisco, Swamiji, what will happen to you when you die? And Prabhupada said, I will never die. I will live forever in my books. So this is our proposition. There's so many books. And you open up and read them, and if you can actually have a personal experience, Prabhupada, that's part of the first test, like that. Is he actually still present here in his society? Right? Yes or no? Now, Bhakti Bringa Maharaj, he was in India, in Delhi, trying to renew his visa. And if you know the Indian bureaucratic system, this is a process that can extend over hundreds and thousands of lifetimes trying to renew your visa, right? And getting a passport requires, I think, 5 years or something like that for an ordinary human being, like that. So he went to the immigration, naturalization, visa, and so-and-so office, and he finally found his way to the desk where he was supposed to start, like that, right? And the boy was working away furiously in all his papers. He looked up and he saw, Maharaj. And he said, "Oh, what do you want?" "So I have to renew my visa like this." And then he said, "Well, okay. You've got to take this form, that form, this form, the P form, the WX5 form, the so-and-so form." Here he comes. He's bringing you some ornament. Don't eat fish. Yeah. So Maharaj was, kind of bewildered. Where do I go? You go here and there, and you go past the broken staircase to the second staircase, and like that, So finally the boy said, "Here, let me help you." So he locked up his desk, and they went walking. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay, though, maybe a little bit. Well, all right, okay, it's okay. Sit down, don't move. Right. Yeah. So this boy said, "Okay, I'll take help you." So he took him first to that desk, and up this stairway, and back down this back entrance, and told somebody, "Stop this work, help this person now, he's important. I helped you last week." So it took about 45 minutes to get all the documents filled out and stamped and everything else. It would have taken probably a few days, to get it all done. So back to this boy's desk, and he's finishing the final papers. He's grounded now. He has to sit here. So they did the final documents, and the boy said, "You're a member of ISKCON, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Disciple of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." He said, "Yes." He said, "That's why I'm helping you. This happened about maybe 5 years ago." And the boy said, "Last year I was so unhappy, so confused. Who am I? What is life? What am I supposed to be doing?" Like that. And then he said, "I got one of Srila Prabhupada's books," right? He pulled Bhagavad Gita out of, as it is, out of his desk drawer right there. And he said, "I started reading that, and I became so happy. Everything's very clear now. Who I am, what should I do?" Like that. And he said, "Do you think if I wrote to Prabhupada, he would write back to me?" This is about 5 years ago. So Bhakti Pringamara said he heard this, and he said, "Uh-oh." And he said, "Well, actually, Prabhupada left the planet in 1977. And he said, "It was like somebody coming and walking in and saying, your father's dead." He was shocked. And he was just started crying, and other people in the office were kind of looking over what's happening. Did someone come in and give us bad news? Sometime he composed himself, and he said, So he had a totally personal relationship, with Prabhupada, just by his books, like that. So it's not a exaggeration or anything else like that, Also, Prabhupada says about Guru, he says that one should act as he hears from the lips, right? Lips of his spiritual master, right? So it's a little bit difficult subject, Minda and Vidvida, you know who they are? Minda and Vidvida. Yeah, they were ministers of Sugriva, generals of Sugriva like that, the brothers. And they're very powerful. They did many austerities. They got benedictions from the sun god, from Brahma, like that, so on. And then they saw Ram, and Sugriva was respecting him and called them to serve him. And they were looking at him, analyzing, "Who is this guy?" And he's Yagneshwar, right? He's Yogeshwar. He's the greatest of all yogis, the greatest of all people like that. And that, we surrender to him. We're going to serve him. And they're looking at Lakshman. They think, "Oh, okay, he's someone like us who did austerities," and other people like that, So they could appreciate God, but they couldn't appreciate Guru like that, And many, many people, different spiritual groups are like that. Many Christians, the same thing, you talk to them, they'll say, "Jesus Christ is God. God has no, understandable, appreciable form that we can approach. Therefore, he becomes human in the form of Jesus Christ, and he is God." So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Jehovah, Jesus, Krishna, Balaram, Guru. Balaram is original Guru. Lord Nityananda is going all over Navadvip saying, "I am the servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I am the servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I am the servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya." So he's God in the form of devotee, like that, right? Balaram dances with gopis, right? Yeah. Does he dance with the same gopis as Krishna? Nope. No. He doesn't even dance with them in the same mood as Krishna. It's like some lady wants to learn how to do the cha-cha or the rumba or something. So she goes to some dance school. Asks her husband, and he says, oh yeah, you can go there, you know. And so some man is dancing with her and teaching her how, like, to, you know, really different, you know, feminine swirls and stuff like that. But he's not thinking, oh, I'm enjoying her. He's thinking, oh, now she'll be able to, you know, do this with her husband on the ballroom with other people like that. Yeah. So Balaram is dancing with gopis, but in the mood of teaching them what it's like to, you know, serve Krishna in this humor of the rasa dance like that. Yeah? Yeah. So guru is understanding guru, yeah, guru tattva, right? It's very important. God is one. This is kind of, I guess, the Mohammedan or the Kanishta Adhikari view. God is one. You know, when you start discovering, but there's variety too. You know, Jehovah. You got here, Christ, Holy Spirit, Mary, and Saint Francis. Yeah. Krishna, Balaram, Mahavishnu, Paramatma, same thing, and then Radharani and Naradamuni. Yeah, so it's Panchatattva. You know, this is science. You know. Sometimes we have this higher experience, sometimes we don't. Sometimes our process works, sometimes it doesn't. But somebody knows it scientifically, comes in and tells you, problem is you're not doing this and that. You know, this is how it works. You know? So same way, you know, theology is a science. You know? And so, you know, our way of approaching Rupa Goswami and all these people, the way we've got, is this parampara, like that. Somebody else, they can find a book like this, now the Da Vinci Code, they dug up. Well, actually, Jesus Christ was married and had children like that. And here's a secret book we discovered like that, you know. Well, how do you know it wasn't bogus and somebody else added it and this and that? Yeah. So in the very beginning here, or somewhere here, this is all, yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari, Hari. Okay. So somewhere here, well, it's very hard to read, though, my spirit lines. Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī prays to his spiritual master, Śrīla Sanātana Goswāmī, for the protection of Bhakti Rasamita Sindhu. Okay? The ocean of pure devotional service from the argumentative logicians who unnecessarily meddle in the science of service to the Lord. Yeah. He compares their arguments and logics to volcanic eruptions in the midst of the ocean. In the midst of the ocean, volcanic eruptions can do very little harm, and similarly, those who are against devotional service to the Lord and who put forward many philosophical theses about the ultimate transcendental realization cannot disturb this great ocean of devotional service like that. So very important in terms of reading this whole thing. And there's a commentary or translation of the original Sanskrit by Professor David Haberman like that. You know, it's very, there you go. There's the Devanagari on one side, English on the other. And I think, you know, I think it would have been much more practical if you put like an English transliteration on this side, then it would have been accessible to everybody that reads Devanagari and English would have been able to read it. And everybody that doesn't read Devanagari and English would also have been able to read it like that. You know, so kind of like, you know, less intelligent. But it's our tradition and scholarship to put the original Devanagari, and therefore these inferior people who don't read Devanagari cannot involve in this. It goes on like that. Don't eat fish. So we're teaching this class now. Last year at the Bhaktivedanta College in Radhadesh, you might say it's ISKCON's premier academic, you know, what you call it, premier college level, right? Undergraduate academic program. That's okay. Janaka Rishi won't complain about it. Premier undergraduate academic program in ISKCON like that, and they're actually trying to get accredited, you know, to give degrees, bachelor's degrees, like that, in theology and religious sciences, like that. Okay. It has another one. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Very curious, you know, whether David Haberman is actually simply an argumentative logician, you know, or actually is a devotee. But Rupa Goswami, very clearly, the way it's being presented, this book is being presented, this is for people who want to serve Krishna. It's the actual practical process of service. And he says the very first thing is to take shelter of an acharya, right? Like that, you know? And hear from him and so on like that, you know? So this is very important now, epistemology. Because otherwise, there's so many. This is very big, you know, volcanic eruption here. It's a big, book is bigger than your book. Like that, you know? Your book is tiny in comparison to my book. Yeah. But, you know, we compare this to the number of people actually following this book and people who are following his book. Yeah. You know, it's been very insignificant at that point. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. So, this is a kind of first point. Yeah. How to appreciate, you know, this whole philosophy and culture. And it's starting the front page here, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, founder of Jaya. So we have to investigate. You know, Prabhupada, what's his consciousness, what kind of person is he? You know, like that, know him. And then again, you know, even myself, I only saw Prabhupada maybe about like physically, his physical body, like maybe like about, I don't know, 5-7 times like that. By the time I was initiated and joined ISKCON, came to ISKCON, probably already had, I don't know, several hundred thousand disciples like that, sannyasis like that, And so, he was already, even after Prabhupada got me, like 100 disciples or something, like he said, now my senior men will have to take responsibility. I can no longer, individually deal with people like that. So the whole thing in terms of relating to Krishna, relating to Balaram, relating to the Acharya, relating to the godbrothers. But Sridhar Maharaj, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he made this one point. He was talking about, they were asking about guru, trying to clarify this idea. And he was quoting this verse, Trinadapi Sanichena, right? Tanorivasa Ishnuna. Lord Chaitanya says, one should be more tolerant than a tree. People cut the branches off of trees like that. One should be more humble than the grass. You know, people step on the grass, so many things like that. Doesn't complain. Hey, what are you? Cut it out. You know, get off me. And then Amanina, one should not be looking for any honor for himself. Hey, look at me. Manadena, right? And giving all honor to other people. One of the most, longest selling, most popular books in the world, Western world, has been How to Win Friends and Influence People, by Dale Carnegie. It's considered one of his most fundamental books on how I like to have a relationship with people. And he said the same thing. You should always be looking for the good qualities of other people like that. Not you're flattering people. No, actually looking for what are their good qualities. Srinivas, I want to tell you I'm glad that you exist. Other than that, at least you exist. I can count on that. I can count on that. You kind of. So please sit over here. And don't eat fish. Wag your tail. Yes, but it's Vedic. You exist, at least. And so it's the whole thing of appreciating. So that's the goal, he says. Not just to see. In the beginning, there's there's my guru, right? My guru, right? Okay. Listen to the second word there. My guru. My guru. Why not my guru, But the my is very big. But my guru. He's a guru like that. He's everybody's guru then. Yeah, so he happens to be my guru too. Many times Prabhupada would say, Shishima Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say. He didn't say, my guru Maharaj said. Yeah? Many times, presenting like that. It's a whole other thing, how to mix these things together properly, understand, guru tattva. Yeah? So, in the beginning we have maybe this different comprehension. And then later on we begin to appreciate, besides Guru Krishna, Acharyas, Muhammad, Buddha, Jesus Christ, St. Francis of Assisi, they're more advanced than I am. Okay, let me try and understand God through them. And then you begin to understand the disciples of the Acharya. An Acharya. Acharya is connected to God. He has people who are following him. So now, in perspective to him, you can look at what he's doing like that, and you can see, like, you know, you haven't got to, go all the way to God like that. Let's take Nathan here and run to God. Look, you know, how's you can compare to God like that, you know. It's right here. You know, only, 40, 50 years ago, Prabhupada's presenting all these things. His life is there like that, you know. And then, of course, to him, the ideas, and we go to Lord Chaitanya, we go to Rupa Goswami. He was principal follower of Lord Chaitanya, like that. Yeah? And so this is, you know, numero uno, Prabhupada. One devotee has these tapes of devotees remembering Prabhupada, like that. So when the devotee was a teacher, he was in the Gurukula in Dallas. Will you open the door? It's okay. Yeah? Open the door. Yeah. Dardwaja Mat Bandkaro. Okay. Right? Yeah.
Second one there. Rock.
Yeah, use the rock. This is high tech door system, right? Yeah. So this devotee was one of the first teachers in the Gurukula system in Dallas. He had a degree, and he said at some point, Hari Kesh Maharaj was telling him, "You have to be guru here." That's the problem. Things are confused. You're not working. You're not taking the position of guru. You're supposed to be guru here, and the kids will respect you, understand you. And he was saying, that's not a good idea. And he was arguing with him. So then about like sometime later, not too long, an hour later or something, the guy, servant came and said, Prabhupada wants to talk to you. He said, my God, you know. See, put on tilak, quickly went in. There was Prabhupada behind his desk when he came in, other devotees and Hari Kesh. And he said, are you saying you are guru here? Like that. He said, no, Prabhupada, I never said that. He said that. Hari Kesh. And Prabhupada looked at Hari Kesh and said, you were saying that? And he said, Prabhupada, it's this and that, and you're the guru, but in here somebody has to act like the authority. And Prabhupada said, no. Like that, you know? And Prabhupada said, I am the guru. You are senior, you are experienced disciple preaching inexperienced disciples. And he said, Prabhupada, I never, shut. You understand this. I said, yes, Prabhupada. Okay. No. So when Prabhupada left, there was just some, you know, confusion about that, apparently. He said, for me, I never had any doubt, you know. And I didn't think that, but he said, if I ever was going to think that, I wasn't going to think that after that meeting with Prabhupada, even though it was just finished, eradicated. My position as senior devotee teaching junior devotees like that, you know. So, understanding our position, our relationship to the Acharya, and then the disciples of the Acharya, we recognize them. You know, Prabhu, I'm a Prabhupada disciple, and therefore you should do what I say. I say, well, I can tell you, okay, you know. You were initiated by, you know, people say, it goes on. People are doing that, you know, like that. One of my disciples is in Denver, like that, you know, no problem with this. And he has a lot, he was a very troubled emotional childhood. He was alcoholic family, separated, and stepfather used to beat him and everything else, you know. So, you know, has a lot of, what's the word, right to claim, like problem, you know, problematic psychology. So sometimes in stressful situations, he was going out smoking some little marijuana and, you know, taking some medication like that, you know. So at one point, then the Tel president, and I caught him like that, you know, just called him into his office and he was talking to me. He said, where do you get this stuff? And under pressure, he said, Prabhu, I only smoke with Prabhupada disciples. So I caught him, was looking at him and just, you know, can't control himself, breaks into hysterical laughter. You know. But he was just, you know, that's, you know, what's going on. You know, name of Prabhupada disciple, you know, like that. So yeah, you were initiated by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada deemed at that point that you'd done something, that you were worthy of taking these vows and stuff, and that's respectful. But now you've fallen from that standard. You're not acting that way, you know. So it's understanding all these things, you know. So you have Krishna, Balaram, you know, great acharyas, you know, and then we have disciples of acharyas who are not necessarily acharyas themselves, but they're worthwhile, they're useful, like that, you know. I'm going across the desert, there's no water, you know, I find some shallow little actually my mother one time, or my grandfather were traveling across the desert, starving, and they found some gully, you know, it means a kind of a low place where water flows normally when there's rainy season, and a lot of plants growing there, so they had an old tobacco can or something, then they just scraped and scraped, and sure enough, the water began to seep in like that. After some time, they had some water. They rested and took the water in the tobacco can with, you know, dirt in it, empty like that. And they were very happy, you know. They had that, you know. So same way, you know, somebody may not be pure devotee, you know, and this pure disciple, the Acharya, who is, you know. But glad to have him. Prabhupada said outside in the ordinary material world, people are 80 to 90% crazy. The modern world, people are 80 to 90% crazy in the modern world. Now, in the Hare Krishna temple, people are about 50% nuts, right? Yeah, at the most, hopefully, no more than that, you know. Okay, so here, when you're dealing with people, you got to, you know, it's your fault if you get hit, right? Maja Madhakar, I mean, he's expert at ducking. Like that. He avoids the demons, right? He knows this is a demon. My God brother is in kind of a demoniac mentality here. Got to be careful. Yes, Prabhu. I'll be right back. Don't worry. Yeah, see, 1 second here. You know. So, and then he makes friendship with the devotees. You know, my God brother is in a friendly mood now and stuff. We can work together, you know. Preaches to the innocent, people who, demons who want to listen. That's kind of innocent. Demons who want to listen and change their ways. They just don't know any better, you know. And finally, he recognizes God. You know, this is Madhya Madhikari in the middle, like that. And so that possession is very practical. You can be a pure devotee by being careful. He's a pure devotee by effort. He has to watch things, always keep going, remember his priorities, hear Krishna's advice, you know, like that. So Madhya Madhikari stays pretty much, you know, if you become offended by your God brothers or God sisters, you can take it as 100% is your fault. You can also look at it as their contamination, their madness, but they're not it's not a balance. It's just, from one perspective, it's 100% my fault. I wasn't ready quick enough to duck, and I got hit, you know. And now I'm blaming this moron for doing this, you know, like that. He's just a moron, you know. And the Bhagavatam says two kinds of people go to hell: the person who commits a sin, and the person who identifies them as a sinner. You demon, you rascal. You know, Maya, it's okay with Maya. She doesn't care whether you're lusty after her or you're angry after her, right? It doesn't matter, you know. Mother Nityarupa was trying to sell a book to this Arab graduate student at the front of the University of California in Berkeley. It's just, you know, it's a whole circus there in the front of the campus. There's Telegraph Avenue and all these little carts selling things, and people coming and going. So you always have a kirtan there chanting. Somehow or other, I was just kind of seeing this. Krishna was like giving the intelligence to see this. And so she started preaching this guy, and he was like an Arab, you know, graduate student in chemistry or something, you know. So very, you know, very proud, macho, you know. I come here from, what is it, someplace, you know, Saudi Arabia. I made it, I know. So she was talking about philosophy like that, and he was kind of looking, you know, sort of arrogant, smug, you know. And he kept kind of defeating her arguments like that, you know. And I kept kind of noticing this. And finally, she starts to walk away, you know, with this male ego satisfied. I've defeated this woman, her religious philosophy, you know. And she says with deep feminine smugness, "I don't care what you say. This philosophy is perfect." Like that. And his Arab, masculine Arab ego just couldn't take that. So he came back and started arguing with her more. And then he lost his intelligence then, you know, because she was just like, you know, turning her head. And that she was... So I just, then finally I kind of looked over and he was giving her like $5 and taking the book and walking away like that. Yeah. I'll just point up, you know, exactly. Anyway. But we begin to appreciate, you know, different people on different levels of the disciples of the Acharyas. And, you know, Maya doesn't care, again, whether you're angry at her or whether you're attracted to her. You know, either way, it's the same thing. She's got you. She's got your attention. So if we say, someone's doing something wrong, they're offensive or they're sinful, okay. And then we say, oh, you are offending me, you are sinful, you know. Then we're not focusing on God anymore, right? Our intense energy, our intense bhava is with this person, you know. And not even with him, it's just with the superficial aspect of Maya, like that, you know. So we have to realize, you know, is that, you know, okay, this is happening, let it pass over my head and look inside and see, okay, my godmother now is unapproachable, he's in Maya, he's nuts, you know, I can't deal with him, let me just, you know, go to a different city, yeah, whatever, something, avoid this problem, you know. And we're more advanced and we can, you know, Sukadeva Goswami, it's all glories to Sukadeva Goswami, who is so pure, he could enter into the heart of anybody like that. It doesn't matter how crazy you are, or whatever, he could go through all that, right? and touch the person directly, you know, like that. Yeah. So, appreciate God, appreciate Balaram, appreciate Acharyas, appreciate Madhyamadikaris, people that are following. They take an initiation from bona fide Acharya, they're following the process. Okay, my obeisances, but sometimes my obeisances are just a duck, you know, like that. Until you come back, same fashion. And then the Kanista Adhikaris, you know, if people come, they associate, they follow, so maybe an Acharya to some degree, at least God, you know. There's one book, the Quran, one prophet, Muhammad, and one God, Allah, and everybody else is going to hell, right? One prophet, Jesus Christ, one book, the Bible, right? And you know, one God, Jehovah, and everybody else is going to hell, right? One book, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, one guru, Srila Prabhupada, and one God, Krishna, and everybody else is going to hell, right? And this is all Kanista Adhikari. He sees his religion, very political, very materialistic, very bodily concept. But still he's worshiping God, so we should respect him and, you know, and try and see how we can take him to a more mature realization, you know, surrender like that, you know? And again, if we're very pure, this is Bob Dylan, quote Bob Dylan now. If the arrow is sharp and the shaft is slick, it can pierce through dust no matter how thick. So Sukadeva Swami, same thing. You can, Kanista Adhikari is easier to reach and talk to than somebody else. You know? Osama bin Laden, is he a devotee? Kanista Adhikari. Yeah, he's got some crazy ideas, does crazy things, but he takes the name of God. You know, Allah is so great to help us kill people, you know. But no, okay, it's a perverted idea. But then if you go and talk to him, if he's, you know, maybe you can reach him and talk to him on the basis of the Quran and what the Quran says and like that, and finally make him realize that, yes, I've done a very sinful thing in the name of Allah. Okay, here's the leaders of all the terrorist groups. Here's where they all are. I'll go on television now and I'll beg to them all to see things in the correct way. But you've got to also ask George Bush to change like this and that. Okay. We'll do it. You know, wonderful if someone like that would change, you know. Yeah. And then finally, then there's, you know, what's it called? Just plain old atheists, you know, like that. And, some atheists are great devotees. They just, what's the word? Amongst the atheists, too, there's those who hate God, right? And they have pictures of God in their cubicle at work, and they swear at him and throw excrement at him and say, "I hate you, God! You know, go to hell, God!" Just like that. You know. This guy is strange. You know. And you can hate your family, your husband, your wife. You can hate your job. You can hate the weather. You can hate your country. But it's very, very rare, to find somebody who hates God. You know, like that. You know. So this is Hiranyakasipu, right? This is why. Who's the guy? Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikit says, well, how is it that Krishna is equal to everybody? He helps the demigods defeat the demons. You know? And he says he's equal to everybody, but he reciprocates in the way they approach him, like that. If you approach him as an enemy and want to kill him, he can just walk away and forget you and hide himself. But okay, he's willing to, you know, to fight like that with you, you know, because he knows by doing that, you become purified, and then you'll realize, you know, that you have this relationship. You know, Bhishma kidnapped three girls, right? Who were they?
Louder there.
Ambika. And Ambalika, okay. And they all went there. Then one told Satyavati, she said, Mataji, there's a problem here, you know. What did she say? Who was it, Amba? Amba had already, I don't know if her hand had already been given to Shishupal or something like that. She'd already been connected to Shishupal. So she went back to him and he wouldn't accept her. And then she told, okay, Bhishma, you got to marry me. You're the one who kidnapped me, created a situation. He said, no, I'm a brahmachari, taking this vow. So she went to his guru and said, you got to tell him. And he said, okay, I'll tell him. And he said, no, I won't do it, you know. So we got to fight with me or marry her. So he defeated him. And he told her, what can I do? I tried my best, you know. So then she left. So the Peter Brooks version of the Mahabharata, I like. Some of the Indians hate it, you know. Bhishma's lying there, you know, resting, doing the battle. And he feels some spirit coming into his room like that. And he says, Amba, is that you? He says, yes, Bhishma. He says, I haven't seen you since you left after that. He said, yes. After I left, I went all over the whole world looking for somebody who could kill you like that. And nobody could do it. So I went to the Himalaya Mountains, and there I did austerities. And finally, she said, a voice came from the sky and it said, build a fire and walk into that fire. And you're just, with this, your mind fixed upon Bhishma, with this hate, and you will be successful. So she said, I walked into the fire and I could feel my flesh burning like that. But my mind was fixed upon you with this desire that you should die like that. You know? And now you'll meet me tomorrow on the battlefield like that. And I've taken birth again. And now I'm a man, and you'll meet me tomorrow in the battlefield. Like that. And it starts to go away. And then Bhishma says, Amba. He says, yes, Bhishma. There's a very thin line between love and hate, isn't there, Amba? Yes, Bhishma. Yes, Bhishma. Yeah. Very thin line between love and hate, isn't there, Bhishma? Yeah. Isn't there, Amba? And Bhishma, she says, yes, Bhishma. So, yeah, somebody who hates God or somebody who loves God. Yeah, it's a very thin line between what's happening there. So this is one brand of atheists. And the other atheists are just guys who are just, you know, petty guys who absorb in their own personal gratification and vanity, you know, things like that. In the Bible, in the, what's the word? The gospel. The revelation of John, like that, you know. When an angel comes to somebody and says, hey, you used to be a devotee, you were fired up, you were serving God, enthusiastic like that. You know, and now you're nothing. You don't hate God or love Him, either one. So one or the other, either love Him or hate Him, but don't be lukewarm, like the spew from my mouth. This is kind of like when most people, their lives are like that, just drool from our mouth. Like this is like, you know, T.S. Eliot again. Just said we were the straw men. He's describing this modern world, the secular society. You know, these things. Anyway, he says that, and this is the way it all ends. So the world revolves like an old woman gathering fuel in an empty lot. It's kind of like, you know. So this is the way it all ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper. So he's dying. Yeah. But Dylan Thomas, I guess he was an atheist, a big famous poet. He said, "Do not go softly into that long, dark night, but rage, rage, rage against the failing of the light." Okay. Like that. This is our you know, higher class atheist. You know, and this is just saying that, I've got to at least, if you're going to be an atheist, at least be a fired up atheist. You know, like that. You know, don't just live your life like, you know, like scums. You know, and oh, I got a cell phone, I got this and that, all these little toys, and you know. You just die with a wheelbarrow full of toys like that, you know. You dump on top of your grave, you know. Like that. I mean, you can do that now. You put the grave, you put the cell phone on top of that, like that. In case he wants to call somebody like that, you can try and call him, you know. Hello, I'm dead now. Yeah. Yeah. So it's appreciating guru. Ultimately, everybody, this is the point, if you're pure enough, everybody is your guru. Is the dog our guru? What does he teach us? Our guru, huh?
Loyalty.
Yeah, loyalty. Is a crow our guru? What does he teach us? He teaches us how to examine everything with one eye. Yeah? Yeah. It goes on and on like that. The dog is our guru also. Actually, several ways the dog is a guru. He teaches us how to satisfy the necessities of the body without formality. Right? He doesn't buy flowers for his girlfriend and everything else. One time we were going into a bus station in Ecuador. There was a main door, double door, and there was a side door, single door. But people were still coming and going. And one dog was sleeping right in the doorway, like that. And everybody was just stepping over him like that. It was just like, you know, just sleeping right there. Nobody bothered him. You know. Didn't have to have a bed and, you know, Sealy Posturepedic, you know, mattress for $700 or, you know, all these kind of things like that. So he's our guru. And how does he cover his nose and keep it warm? Yeah. Puts his tail over his nose like that. Yeah, like that. So this is it. You begin to see guru everywhere. So Bhagavatam's describing this. I have seven gurus. I learned from these. Yeah. And so because of that, then we can see guru everywhere. And guru is taking us to God, the supreme personality of Godhead, Godhood. This is all Godhood, womanhood, manhood, Godhood. Okay, one's the supreme personality. Others have different roles. Like that, you know? So, that's how we approach this book. Right? You're approaching Rupa Goswami. And again, you know, Dr. Gupta here, he has different roles here, like that. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Sometimes he's Dr. Gupta. Sometimes he's Radhika Raman. You know, yeah. So, no, it's a fact. It's good. It's good to have criticism about these things, that we're not just, I don't have blind faith. We're actually using reason and intelligence. He'll say that logic, reason, intelligence are good, you know, until you come to the point of actually coming in contact with the source of absolute knowledge. Yeah? And then he say that actually they're impediments. They can be impediments, excuses. Again, some different kinds of religious groups, they say, oh, these people are looking for God, and they hope they don't find him. Right? They're looking for God, but they hope they don't find him, because if you find him, then you got to, like, surrender. You know? Yeah? So many people are like that. They don't. They want to be very famous for showing the way to others. You know, that, you know, I know the way. Like that. Well, have you traversed it? No, I haven't. You know? Well, I know it. Yeah, yeah. So a very important aspect of, you know, how to approach Rupa Goswami, how we're approaching Rupa Goswami, like that. Other people, they know different things. You know, David Habermann. We're not saying he doesn't know Rupa Goswami in some ways. You know, or different scholars like that. But it's a different kind of way of approaching. Everybody knows the moon, right? So almost any human being, almost, you know, can see the moon, right? But if you want to see the details, you need a telescope, right? You can go buy a telescope, right? Boise? Buy them in Boise? Yeah? Like a 6-inch reflector telescope, like that? Is that okay? Can you see the moon through that? No? Interesting, too, because it's too fine. It's too accurate. It breaks the sky down into tiny parts, and you can go, you know, like left and right, you go above the moon, past the moon. So on the side of this thing is another telescope. This is maybe like 140 power. This is maybe 6 power. And this one's called a finder thing. You line the whole thing up at the moon, and you go into your finder scope, and the moon's over here, okay. Then you get in the center of that one. Then you go to the more accurate one. So this is what I'm trying to be, like a finder telescope, trying to take you to Prabhupada, right? It's a good job for us. We can refine your search. We can help you understand Prabhupada like that and stuff. But then to actually see Krishna, see the moon, you need an acharya, a capital A. And then you see the same thing. It doesn't mean you see something different. Oh, there's the moon. I look into the telescope and I see a pickle. You know, oh, okay. That's what the moon looks like when you're close up. The moon is a pickle. No. It's the same thing. Right? It isn't that, you know, I'm guru and, you know, I'm telling you God is hate. God hates these people. He's full of envy. He's a, you know, jealous God, angry. These people should all die. You know, no, that's not what it says in the Bible and stuff. God is very generous. God is merciful. You know, and God is telling us what he wants in a sense like that. No, you never know God except through me. No, you're a bogus guru. Yeah. So you see God in the different telescopes. So it's the same thing like that, you know? But with more detail, like that. And it goes on and on like that. So we're maybe going to inaugurate some program here on Tuesday nights, like that. Maybe going to work out some program, maybe. A regular study of Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Again, our tradition, we're coming from Rupa Goswami, you know. The Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And then from him, we go back to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhaktivinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, and then from him to Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vishwanath Chakravarti to Narottam Das Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur to Krishnadas Kaviraj, Krishnadas Kaviraj to Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami to Srup Damodar Swami, and Srup Damodar and Rupa Goswami are contemporaries, they're both acharyas, then to Lord Chaitanya. And from Lord Chaitanya, if you can appreciate him, you can go all the way to Krishna, you know, or all the way to Madhvacharya, to Madhvacharya. He's accepting initiation in Sampradaya. There are other people in there. Well, I know one hippie who memorized them all. I don't know them. But yeah, from Lord Chaitanya, we have enough faith, practically speaking, to go to Krishna. His activities are so elevated. If you say Krishna's God, you know, okay. Things he's doing, his activities like that. You know? And so this is parampara. And it's not dead. You know, actually, you meet every single person along the way. You begin to realize their nature, their activities, and you feel their presence. I got a compound microscope, compound telescope. It's got three lenses, right? So I'm trying to look at the moon, my telescope. What's the problem? Yeah, you turn this way to start with, you know. This won't do, you know, like that. Okay, turn this way. And then, I have to line the first lens? First lens has to line up with the second lens, you know. So, you know, we see Prabhupada. Prabhupada sees Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. If you investigate this, you see, yes. I mean, he's like surrendered to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, like that. And, one, you know, different stories. And then Bhakti Siddhanta, he sees Gaur Kishore. And this way, all the lenses get lined up, and then you see Krishna, like that. Yeah? And you have to meet everybody along the way. Because to line up on them, you've got to, like, understand how is Prabhupada connected to Bhakti Siddhanta? And by hearing him talk about him and everything else and seeing his presence, you understand, he's surrendered to him. One time, Maitreya Rishi was with Prabhupada in Iran, and people were doing different things, you know, coming and seeing Prabhupada. And so he was sitting here, he told me this, and Prabhupada was there. And then one lady, she was like, maybe like, you know, 58 years old or something like that, very mature lady, children, family. She said, you know, Prabhupada, can I talk to you about something? And he said, yes. It's a little personal, can I talk to you in private? And Maitreya Rishi just naturally started to get up because it seemed, you know, this respectable lady like that. He said, Prabhupada grabbed his hand, and he said it was like some steel trap closing on his hand. It was like, he was kind of fell back down like that. And then Prabhupada kind of let go. And then he said, no, I am a sannyasi. A sannyasi is not allowed to talk to lady privately like that. And so Maitreya Rishi here is my, you know, confidential associate like that. And whatever you want to say, we can discuss also like that. And she said, all right. You know. And she discussed with Prabhupada some things about her family and everything else like that. And Prabhupada gave her some advice, and she thanked and went out. And he said, Prabhupada turned to him and said, how could you do that? You know, how could you leave me alone with a woman? What would Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati have thought of me? Like that. And he could tell it wasn't at all like, you know, like a lesson or something. It was Prabhupada was actually feeling like that. If Bhakti Siddhanta would have looked at him, you're a sannyasi? You know, like that. He said, Prabhupada said one time, there was a big lecture going on, and Bhakti Siddhanta was preaching. And one older gentleman was next to Prabhupada in the audience. It was, I guess it was in maybe Lucknow or something. They're like, no, where was the pharmacy? Allahabad. And so then, and the older gentleman couldn't understand what Bhakti Siddhanta was saying because it's very logical and like that. So Prabhupada was like explaining to him. And he said, then Guru Maharaj turned to me and he said, Abhai Baba. You know, you think you can explain things better than your Guru Maharaj? You know, and he said it was like 10,000 volts of electricity passing through his body. It was like his whole. And the other guy said, "You think you have bought me with your, you know, $100 a month donation?" It was a good day, very nice, very sincere person like this. They both were like electrified. And they both. After that, he said it was like 3 days afterwards. He was finally the experience actually. You know, was walking around like in his trance. You know. Situation like that, you know. So yes, you know, it's another time too. Hari Sori says he came in, was arranging Prabhupada's room the way he liked it, because you know things are in a certain place. You reach for them, you pull your files, you brush your teeth. So when you come, you arrange everything in the room, you know, like you use it normally. So Prabhupada's servant, you know, like Hari Sori, would do that, put everything the way Prabhupada liked it. And then he was kind of had the picture of Bhakti Siddhanta, and he said, "Yeah, put Srila Prabhupada here." And then Hari Sori kind of hesitated. And Prabhupada looked at him and kind of laughed. He said, oh. He said, I also have my Srila Prabhupada. put him there like that. Yeah. Yeah. So there are disciples and stuff like that in the books. You can realize, you know. Well, maybe this man is deceiving me. He produced 100 volumes of literature with the same tone, the same consciousness, the same everything else. Very hard to do that, I think. You know, 100 writing night and day. And also this was done in 10 years like that, right? You know, so you can see Prabhupada's consciousness, morning walks, room conversations, Bhagavad Gita, books. He was saturated with the same consciousness. And his idea of his guru, you know, was the same as he's trying to tell us. That once you find an acharya, you investigate him, and then you see this is an acharya. He's connected to Krishna. I understand how. You know? And then Bhakti Siddhanta, Gaur Kishore, you know, like that. And back to Lord Chaitanya. Like that. And Rupa Goswami in the process here, right? It's a nice appreciation of Goswami. So he wrote so many books. Bhakti Rasa Mita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, Krishna Janma Titi, Radha Krishna, Ganadesha Deepika. What else we got? Gacham Champus, Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami. Yeah. So many books, songs, poems, like that. You know, many songs by him. So much some too. Yeah. But some people consider, I never probably say that, but okay, that his principal work, his opus magnum, was Bhakti Rasa Mita Sindhu, like that. And it's a scientific presentation of our process. I'll finish this here. And so, this is how we're approaching him. You know, we may not be great scholars, we may know so many things, but we have this connection, and we're feeling the potency like that, and scholarship like that, and so on, through this parampara. That Prabhupada wouldn't say anything that he hadn't heard from Bhakti Siddhanta. And Bhakti Siddhanta wouldn't say anything he hadn't heard, you know, from bona fide sources like that. So when it says, we say that this book was written by Supa Goswami at a certain time, and Chaitanya Charitamrita was written at a certain time, like this and that. This is our epistemology. This is how we know, like that. You know? And somebody else, again, they found that they find, you know, secret letters of Leonardo da Vinci. And they do, what's it called, date the paper with this chemical techniques and say, well, it's later, but that's because somebody copied them, like that, on and on like that. I mean, the speculation is just beyond belief. These scholars like that. Yeah, it really is. You know, I've seen like very, very serious scholars. But you pull back a little bit, look at these things from a little distance, you realize it's just speculation. And there's so many things, and they argue about different points like that. You know, and yeah, they can. It's okay. As long as you haven't got a source like this, is what you have to do. You have to be reasonable. You have to look at things, you know, in that area. If you don't have any information from an acharya, you have to use your intelligence. We're not opposed to that. But areas where you know something by hearing, then, you know, the other things are put in their proper place like that. You know, so on. Prabhupada even mentions that. Some people say it seems that, okay, some things are like that. Yeah. So the Bhakti Rasa Mita Sindhu is divided, it's the ocean, Sindhu, right? And it's divided in four parts, just like the ocean. The eastern part, the southern part, western part, and northern part. Okay. And each part of the ocean is divided into waves like that. You know? Yeah. And so the first part, there's four waves. Yeah. In the back of the book, most of the books, there's Rupa Goswami's original table of contents. There it is, yeah. Like this. Here. And there's, you know, four waves like that. Actually, I'm teaching this course at Radhadesh. And there we go. There's a poster in the back. There we go. Okay. Got the four parts of the ocean. And the first part is divided in four waves. Like that, you know. Samanya Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prima Bhakti, like that. So Samanya Bhakti is general principles. What is bhakti? Prabhupada says, some man may say, I have so much bhakti for the demigods. I have so much bhakti for my wife. When I don't see her, I cry. Prabhupada said, this is not bhakti. This is lust. Yeah. So what is bhakti? And he has a very, very nice one verse, Paribhasa Sutra, right? Which is a summary of the whole book. Anyabhilasita, slowly here, just syllable by syllable. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma adi anavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam vinashilanam bhakti uttama, because it breaks differently, bhakti uttama. So every syllable in this thing is actually, you can analyze into significant meaning. He defines what is pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is empowered activity. Yeah, it's empowered activity with a conscious intention to please Krishna. Such activity must not be covered by extraneous things like desire for philosophical knowledge, fruitive activities, or mystic yoga, like that. Okay, that's what it means to be a devotee. Serve Krishna without selfish desires. Well, who can take to this? You know, I want to be a devotee. I've had experiences with devotees, but I have so many desires. I'm an educated person. I have a nice family. I can go a long way in life, do things for society, become famous, and I know I should just sacrifice everything for Krishna, Prabhupada, but I can't do it. Well, that's okay. You just come and associate with us, and you start the process. If you have this taste, somehow or other, right, then you can start the process of sadhana bhakti, like that, the actual process. So who can take to the process of bhakti? Some people can't. What is bhakti? And what are the results? He gives six results. First two are coming from sadhana bhakti. What are they?
Pleasure of me and shubha bhakti.
Which means?
Relief from material distress and auspiciousness.
Relief? So you can practice from your diaphragm. Relief from material distress and auspiciousness. As soon as you take the bhakti, all these problems stop going away. You give up your smoking habit, you start stop fighting with your husband, like that. You know, stop drinking tea, your addiction to football games goes away. Okay, all these sources of distress, they go away, like that. And things start to become auspicious. Your educational career starts to become auspicious. I'm learning something, you know. And the world, everything starts to become auspicious. This is from following sadhana bhakti, regulated practices. When we come to actually awakening our real sentiments, bhava bhakti, then we minimize liberation. They minimize the happiness of liberation.
Yeah.
It's very rare to actually get real feelings of love of God. Like that. And finally, the last stage, prema bhakti, it's very rarely achieved. No. It's the only way to attract Krishna.
Yeah, very condensed bliss.
Huh?
Condensed.
Yeah, then we actually get actual happiness. Condensed ecstasy, and it's the only means to attract Krishna. So six different things come from bhakti. Oh, I want this. Okay, second wave. Sadhana bhakti, how to practice this, how to do it. Two divisions. Vaidhi bhakti, rules and regulations, and Raganuga bhakti, following devotees, like that. So everybody has to develop this vaidhi, somehow or other. Get up in the morning for Mangala Artik. Don't smoke cigarettes. Chant on japa beads. You know, fast in Ekadasi. What's the first principle of Vaidhi Bhakti? First rule? Yeah, find an acharya. Okay, so if you take Prophet Muhammad, may his name be blessed, right? He tells you, okay, you must bow down, was it five times a day, to Mecca. You must go take a pilgrimage to Mecca. You must fast during Ramadan. You must give charity. If you're going to, this is the first things you have to do. Find an acharya, like that. And then take initiation from him, follow his instructions, ask questions, learn how to serve the previous acharyas to him. He gives 50 different things, 50 different vaidhis. This is a summary. There are more details. He's giving general principles. Other books then give more details of how to worship a deity, how to do all these things. So if you do this, if you understand the priorities, some things are more important than others. Some things have to go a certain time. Once you get your vaidhi bhakti down, you're actually liberated. Okay? You're never unhappy. You may touch unhappiness for one moment, then your intelligence just pulls you right out of it. Actually, I remember this. Maybe I've been a devotee for like 7 years. I was actually stopping and thinking, hey, I'm always happy now. I mean, distress comes for one moment, then my intelligence corrects me and say, okay, this and that, you know, like that, you know. So it actually happens. You learn how to follow the rules and regulations. You go to Vaikuntha just by following the rules and regulations. But you can also, at that point especially, start to imitate an advanced devotee. How does Hanuman serve Krishna? How did Mother Yashoda serve Krishna? How do the cowherd boys have lunch with Krishna? You know? Let me imitate that. Let me try and feel something, you know, for my service, to enhance my service. You know? And if you want to go to Goloka, you have to do Raganuga also. You cannot go to Goloka Vrindavan just by Vaidhi Bhakti. You can go to Vaikuntha with Narayan and opulence, but to go to the intimacy of Vrindavan, you have to have somebody, you know, to follow, to get this feeling, you know. And we were walking across the Brajbandha Parikrama from Madhukund to Santanukund. Remember that one? It's a really long, hard walk, you know. And so about halfway there, you're just going through the fields like that, and the sun is starting to come down hot. And you're just walking in the dust, you know, just looking at the feet of the person behind you, like that. And you feel like some kind of foot soldier, like that. It's kind of the only raga you can get to go on like this. You know, when we're soldiers of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, you know, come to save the Brijbasis from Maya, you know, like that. Yeah. sometimes marching like this with my mind functioning in about, you know, power efficiency mode. You see that, it happens, your mind, you know, so you see how your mind works in this kind of sadhana bhakti like that. It's very good sadhana bhakti, the Rajamana Parikrama. So you're walking like this and you haven't got a lot of energy to use for your mind, so it's kind of like working in a kind of this minimal mode, you know, not so much passion or ignorance, just whatever is necessary, you know. So this mood, I was kind of walking along and thinking like, wow, we're in Vrindavan, and you can only enter into Vrindavan by the mercy of the Brijbasis, like that. So I was thinking this, I looked over, it was maybe like three or four buildings, some extended family household, and two Brijbasis were arguing about who was going to go find the cow that had walked off and do that, and then they said, kind of said, okay, you take care of it, and the guy said, all right, I'll take care of it, and kind of walked away in a little bit of a grumpy mood. And I kind of looked at him, and just spontaneously my thought was like, well, you know, you're a Brijbasi, and I want to enter into Vrindavan. Can I also be a Brijbasi? I was kind of looking at him like this. He was kind of the cow. He looked at me, and he kind of goes, I was thinking, maybe that's, you know, but Brijbasis are like that. You know, you want to come a Brijbasi, okay, you can, okay, but you have to look for the cow then. You know, so yeah. So this is Raganuga. And of course, Vrindavan is a wonderful place to execute Raganuga Bhakti, because there are so many people there, born in Vrindavan, who have this sentiment like that. You don't take birth in Vrindavan unless Krishna arranges it. Anybody who takes the land, the cows, the buffaloes, and the trees are all unlimited nectarian seas of the most intense mellows of spiritual pain, something which the most fortunate ever obtained. Like that. This is Vrindavan. Everything there loves Krishna. You know, the trees, the cows, the land, the bush, the frog, the cloud, the sun. It's a different sun in Vrindavan. You go there, you know, but the same sun is here. You know. And so we, you know, Raganuga Bhakti, if you can see this, if you're ready, if you're following good Vaidhi, good sadhana, and you can begin to see the Brijbasis like that, a little bit. And you can start to understand their humors and start to follow them and let the spontaneous feelings come out of the soul. So, Samanya Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, two divisions. And then finally, you start to have your real sentiments come out. You're trying to start the fire, use matches, right? Some matches, some paper, you know. But after some time, the real wood starts to go. So if the real wood is going, you're still lighting matches and throwing them in. Someone's going to say, you're an idiot. Now put some bigger pieces on like that. No, not so much. Some more air. Not so much. Not too little. This is Bhava Bhakti, the third wave. What you're experiencing now are real sentiments. Your real sentiments for Krishna. And it's very rarely achieved to express this. But they're not pure. They're not continuous. They're not deep, right? They're there, but Krishna can't relish them yet fully. You feel like a mother towards Krishna, but it's not really full. And so Krishna can't take advantage of that. So Bhava Bhakti means just fanning the fire, putting the wood on. And the techniques for that, he talks about, you know, that. So finally, when the bhava's there, it becomes prema. Our natural consciousness is there. Our natural feelings are there. Like that. So that's the first part. The second part is this Bhava Bhakti, like that. How to actually execute Bhava Bhakti Yoga. If you come to that platform, you're already a Goswami, Goswamini. You're already in contact with the Super Soul. And he's already guiding your spiritual experience. You open a book, and it's just what you needed, you know, for this bhava, sentiment like that, you know. Yeah, like that. And then finally he talks about the Prema Bhakti, five primary mellows. Love Krishna as a mother, love Krishna as a friend, love Krishna as a servant, love Krishna as a lover, like that. And the last part then is seven secondary rasas. Yeah. Chivalry, humor, ghastliness, wonder. We're working on it here. And then the mixture of mellows. Because some mellows mix together well. Like, what is Balaram's rasa with Krishna? You know? How does he love Krishna? As a mother? Huh? Yeah, so it's Sakya Ras. He's kind of friendly relationship with Krishna. But it's mixed with Vatsalya Ras, parental affection, because he's Krishna's older brother. And you got to watch out for your younger brother. He has to always protect Krishna from two dangerous things. Demons and gopis. Right? Yeah. So Radharani and Krishna meet for the first time and they're just, you know, so attracted to each other and amazing. And Do you like vanilla strawberry ice cream? Oh, I love vanilla strawberry. Wow. You know, and so it's starting to go very fast. And Balaram is watching all this, and he says, you know, Krishna, I think maybe we should take the cows home now. And Radharani is saying, well, Balaram, can't Krishna stay a little longer? We'll come back tomorrow. It's okay, like that. You know? So there's Krishna, you know, Balaram, and Radharani, right? And these three also interact. And sometimes Balaram tells Radharani, wait a little while, like that. You know. And sometimes she tells him, I want to see Krishna now, Balaram. He says, okay, I'll see you later. You know? So it's a very understanding how these relationships are. But that's the last part. Mixtures of mellows. Because some mix and some don't. Well, he gives the example of strawberry vanilla ice cream. Well, that's nice. Strawberry vanilla ice cream. But what about chocolate broccoli ice cream? Strawberry broccoli ice cream. Yeah. No, it's the same way Vatsalya and Madhurya. It's not tasty. And Mother Yashoda acting like a paramour, a lover for Krishna. Ah, it's disgusting. You know? Yeah. So, reject it. So this is it. Whole thing is here. And Donadar Maharaj has a very nice, commentary, elucidation of this. And he goes through the Sanskrit terms, because Prabhupada said, I'm doing this very quickly, it's a summary study. So sometimes the ways he's translating the words into English is a little not clear. So he says why he uses that word, right? So it's an elucidation, it's very nice. And some points I disagree with, a couple points I disagree, and there are some like just plain errors in terms of the charts like that and stuff like that, you know. But very nice, my experience. Really helped me enormously. You know? Actually, without this, it would be very difficult, you know, very difficult for me to appreciate, you know, after devotion. Okay. And then we also have David Haberman's translation. And some words you can look up, because there are some words, you should put a footnote in this. One place, Raganuga Bhakti is, Ragatmika Bhakti is translated as Raganuga, you know, like that. And it's very confusing. It's a mistranslation. Like that. And you look in the Devanagari, I can read enough to see, yes, Ragatmika, you know. But it's here it says Raganuga. And it's wrong then. It's incorrect. So you should put a footnote in, you know, saying like that, you know, commenting at least. And then his introduction is very nice, you know, in terms of like Western scholarship. He talks about the whole background like that, in terms of the Western scholars before Rupa Goswami, and that Rupa Goswami, these terms, Baba and these sentiments, weren't something he invented. They were existing in the tradition before that with Abhinava Gupta, Maharaj Bhoja, like that. You know? And, you know, then his kind of impression, idea is that Rupa Goswami then kind of just taking it nicely, he evolved these ideas into a full way to express bhakti, you know, like that. It's a developing, evolving idea, like that. But I would say, no, our idea is more that, like Sanskrit grammar, have fallen into, you know, contamination with Prakrit languages, and then Panini, then lifted it back up. So Rupa Goswami took these original pure rasa, you know, ideas, and then brought them back up to where they're supposed to be. Like that. And it's very useful. It isn't just like for our advancement, but also today we gave a whole class at Boise. It's like our third or fourth class there with the drama department. And it's such a natural way, you know, for them to appreciate our philosophy. They were studying those things. They're studying at world drama. And so you start talking about our tradition and stuff like that, and it's very... They realize, wow, these guys know a lot more than we do, you know, about Indian drama and stuff like that. And again, with a little scholarly perspective from, what's his name? David Haberman. Then you really, they accept that this person's on, this is on a university level. Yeah. I'm lecturing in South America, and somebody was criticizing Divya Vani for not inviting other people from other traditions. And he was saying, I invite them so much, because they're ready to give things like that. They're qualified. He was saying, Hanuman Swami is a lecturer on the university level. And so the professor was going, well, that's a fact. You know, like that. So you come to a level where people accept your scholar. Another time I was giving a lecture before the dean of philosophy in San Marcos, at the university in south of Peru, and somebody introduced me as Dr. Robinson. I said, well, actually, I haven't got a PhD. And she looked at me and said, who cares? you know, because you know your material like that. And you know their perspective. You know? somebody, two guys are playing tennis. And somebody comes along and sees them for the first time and watches, and he said, "Hey guys, come here, come here, come here. If you take the net down, it's going to be a lot easier." You know? So they just beat him with their tennis rackets and chase him away. You know? So these scholars have their game. You know, from a broader perspective, it may not be so bona fide, but that's what they're playing. You know, and if you want to talk to them, you've got to understand their game, right? Their authorities, their standard, and then show what you're showing is like. You know, you can enter into their game, and they can appreciate what you're saying like that. If you want to call them off the court and talk to them, okay, that's something else, and maybe you can do that. But if you know, they don't want to do that, you can enter into the game and you can play it, and then they can see, wow, this guy plays pretty good. John Searle, he's one of the senior professors of philosophy at the University of California, Berkeley. Every year the university, out of all the professors, they elect one person to be the university lecturer. And he's supposed to give like three lectures, and then all the professors or whatever are supposed to appreciate. You know, it's a great academic community. So Searle was elected as university lecturer one year at the University of California, Berkeley, a very elevated position. So he was debating with Sariputta, our ISKCON scientist in Bombay, 1984, about the origin of life and all these scientific points like that. And it was in front of all these Bombay scholars, everything else, and it was very good. Searle said, "You can't talk like this at Berkeley." He said, "I'm really happy here. You can talk about these things, you know, like just people are interested." So after the discussion, John Searle told Sariputta, he said, "You know, Thompson, I'm not saying I agree with you, but you can play a good game of hardball." Yeah. Yeah. So I've had these discussions with many other, you know, monotheists before, and they're nothing like that. So he accepted in that sense that this person, you know, knows how to play with the rules and stuff like that. He's good. So I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to his arguments now and consider that maybe I'm wrong, you know, like that. Other people, forget it. So, any questions? Koi prashna hai? Hanji. Angres Basia. You can talk loudly.
If you do Pranabhakti and the whole philosophy, your goal is really to do liberation, right?
No. Liberation is just the beginning.
Okay.
It's like
okay.
after you get out of prison, liberated from prison, then your life begins. And that's prema, bhakti. After liberation, that's real bhakti begins after liberation.
Okay, let's just say that liberation is the beginning. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
And you convince everyone else in this room, let's okay. just take one step further.
Okay.
And everyone is liberated.
Yes.
And let's just take that ultimate where you basically convince everyone on this planet.
Okay.
That they get liberated. And so basically there's nobody left on this earth. And I'm kind of wondering, why did Krishna even create the universe to begin with?
No, it's the same way when the government, you know, when they were designing Boise, the city. Okay, we need some hospitals. We need parks. We need schools. We need some production areas. We need some administrative areas. And we need a prison, right? You know, right? So somebody will say, "Oh no! Well, why do you need a prison? Why are you so negative?" And the guy says, "No, there are going to be some people get drunk, have a fight, you know, this and that. You know, so we need something like that." So same when we have free will, and so because of that, then you know, Krishna creates an arrangement where when we're executing our free will in that way, there's a corral for us, or we call it a crib. And we can go on like that with our own particular, you know, mode of existence like that. You know, so it's his mercy.
Yeah. So he's the one who's manipulating
everything. Right? So wait a second now. He's the ultimate cause. As Aristotle makes this division, and probably uses the same thing. Krishna is the ultimate cause, right? Like the potter is the ultimate cause of the pot. The wheel is the efficient cause of the thing. And the clay is a material cause. So yes, Krishna is ultimately responsible for everything. So from his point of view, if his children are naughty, okay, it's also kind of amusing. So he lets them play. That's the way children are. They have their free will. And they learn something. They do something. Okay. But then ultimately, but efficiently, you know, within the corral, well, we're not going to hurt ourselves, then we're the cause of things in there. You know? And ultimately, the material world is causing it. Your father says, "Okay, you're 18 years old. It's Saturday night. I know it's a big basketball game. Here's the keys to the car and $20. Okay. and you pick up your friends, take them to the basketball game. Afterwards, you know, go to the soda parlor, have some ice cream, and come home. Yes, you know. So at 10 o'clock at night, he gets a call from the police. We got your son here. He was drunk driving, went off the road, ran over a stop sign, like that. So you could say, well, you know, tell him go to hell. sit there. He's got to take care of himself. But no, because you're the father and you gave him the keys, okay. But you can't say it was the father's fault, because that was legitimate. He gave him the keys. It's bona fide. But, you know, yes, yeah. So yes, Krishna takes responsibility if what we're doing like that. But in other sense, he doesn't, you know, suppress our free will. He said, otherwise we're not living beings, you know. Yeah. Okay? Okay. Liberation. Everybody. So, any other? Dusre prashna hai. Is that right? Okay, yeah. Me hindi shik rahahu. So Prabhupada said, if there are no questions, I mean, everybody agrees. Okay, so everybody's going to buy a book now, right? Bhakti Rajamita Sindhu, right? Come to the classes. Right? Yeah, that's our whole point. Okay, so a little more kirtan chanting, and then there's a big feast. You can cook in the kitchen there. Where's some kartals? Want to get kartals? Any kartals? Do you have kartals? Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
Rakshama.
Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Pahima.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava,
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Rajama.
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Pahima.
Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama.
Rama
hey, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bhagavan ki jai,
Adi Radharani ki jai,
Jagannath Baladev
Subhadra ki jai,
Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki
jai. So you're playing harmonium. You've got to hear the melody between the raga. You have to go under it. Didn't know that, did you? You have to go under it.